He's our voice of reason in the medical world. Dr. Fred Brown from Griffin Health talks to Melissa in the morning on WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
Dr. Brown, holy moly, you can't go anywhere. I'm telling you, every time you're missing, people think I've cut you from the show. Can we put a PSA out there that that's just not the case? How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Melissa?
I'm serious. I was flooded with calls last week. Why did you get rid of Dr. Brown? I didn't. I said, I don't know if you all know, but he's a doctor first, and if something comes up, unfortunately, he's got to do his job. So, unfortunately, we're not his number one.
I know. I tried really hard to be on last week, but I just couldn't do it. I apologize to you and your listeners.
I mean, at least you know you're loved. That's a cool thing.
That's a good thing.
So there you go. There you go. So obviously we are going to talk about COVID. Don't you worry.
Okay.
wouldn't you make you skip out on that? But before we get to that, I got to talk about this monkeypox thing. You had to know I was going to ask about the monkeypox.
Of course.
Obviously. What the heck is monkeypox? Well, I've never even heard of this before. What is it?
Monkeypox. It doesn't sound real.
You know it doesn't sound. It sounds like a crazy thing. Right.
I know. Which one are you referring to? I mean, as in, what did you read, Melissa?
Okay, here's what I read. I read a person in Massachusetts has monkeypox. We'll keep it as simple as that. This person went across the border, I guess, into Canada, came back, has monkeypox. They're not really sure if that means that it could be widespread and nobody knows about it. I know there are two different versions. There's a deadly version that like 10% of people who get that version could die, but then there's another version that's pretty mild and less than 1%. I think this person has the mild version. That's all I know.
Usually, so that's, I'm sorry, because there are a couple viruses that are actually called monkeypox.
Really?
We just wanted to make sure that we were clear. Yes, because there's different versions of them. Amazing, right? All these things you learn about. So it really depends on, and I don't want to go too much detail, so let me just try to keep it a little bit vague. So there are two different types, and they actually are two different types of viruses. There is one virus that can be very severe. It's actually associated. It's very similar to smallpox. That's the bad one that you were talking about. It typically only occurs with a direct exposure to usually to monkeys. Types of monkeys.
Oh.
Yeah. So is this something that
I heard it's in other countries usually that this is contracted, like is in Africa, I think is what I heard.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
So we see it very rarely. It can occur. There is another one that can be associated with, and there's three now that I think about it, but there's another one that can be associated with other types of rodents, in particular prairie dogs.
Really?
So most of these, when you talk about sort of a monkeypox deal, really what you're talking about is some sort of exposure to an animal. Now, granted, you don't hear much about sort of what was exposed, but there is always a concern about an animal exposure. Zoos are a concern. You know, there's a reason why people say, you know, don't feed the animal. Don't try not to get too close to them. Unless it's like a goat that you're at a petting zoo. But I mean, listen, that's a little different.
You're like, and I digress.
And I digress. Sorry.
I don't want to
ruin all the petting zoos out there.
No, I hear you. Yeah, I got you. I'm with you. No. We're talking about monkeypox, by the way.
We're talking about monkeys. We're talking about wild animals like prairie dogs that can carry these infections. You know, again, the severity of those really depends on what type of viruses that occur. There is another type of virus, again, associated with macaw monkeys that can actually cause a pretty severe infection, also a systemic infection. But in general, it can progress like anything else, but fevers, rash, there could be some respiratory symptoms, at least what was seen in the prairie dogs. So we'll have to see exactly what this turns out to be, which version of sort of the monkeypox. But I think the bottom line is that you just need to be careful when you are in strange areas or zoos or, and again, wild animals.
So we're talking to Dr. Brown this morning. I learn about this monkey pox case out of Massachusetts. A man went into, all we know is that as far as travel is concerned, because immediately people go, oh, where have you been that you got monkey pox?
Exactly. Right.
So all I know is this person went into Canada, came back from Canada, has monkey pox. Now, something I was hearing about this morning is that if they got it in another state, or I guess country in this situation, you know, does this show that this could be widespread and we just haven't detected it yet? And if that's the case, then how is that possible? Because it seems pretty obvious if you have monkey pox, at least by what I was reading.
Yeah, it's actually really, we'll have to see how it actually, how this patient ended up getting it. I mean, it is very rare. So it is going to be really tough to say, what was the source? How did it spread to anyone else? We haven't seen it in the U.S. at least another couple, at least the last few years. Mm. So as I said, it's so rare that it's tough to say. It's not going to be as infectious as other things. I mean, right now you want to isolate because you need to determine exactly what this is and what version it is. But again, as it goes right now, I think it's an interesting news case.
If this person did get it from someone else, not an animal, but another person, is it like COVID where you can get it through droplets? Like, how do you contract it?
It can be. So you can get it actually from, it can be transmitted through body fluid is probably the best way.
Okay.
So sores or potentially contaminated areas of, that is closely associated with a person. So it could be, droplets. It could be fomites, so areas that actually have it. Usually it has to have some significant amount of virus that is there. But I think it's interesting because people, I don't want people to sort of relate, COVID versus other viruses. What your listeners have to remember is that, COVID is very unique in that it is a very infectious organism. You come in contact with someone who has it within the first 24 hours that actually has the infection, and you're next to them without a virus and you're susceptible, you're likely going to get it. I mean, it's that infectious. Granted, they haven't had it in the last 90 days, as opposed to other infections, which there's a gradient in which you can get it. So just because someone might be associated or next to this person does not mean that they will actually get it.
We're chatting this morning with Dr. Brown of Griffin Health, and we are talking about monkeypox. I know I was supposed to switch gears to COVID, but this is kind of connected. So, Dr. Brown, I am curious because I'm wondering, you and I don't remember, a few weeks ago maybe, we were talking about how with COVID and the fact that we were in such a protective measure with the masks and the cleaning and the hygiene and all of that for 2 years, all of a sudden we're starting to see like upticks or the emergence, if you will, of viruses that people are not too familiar with, or they're like, gee, why is this happening? Measles, this, mm-hmm. that, why is this happening? Is monkeypox another version of like, hey, here's something we don't usually see, but out of the aftermath of COVID and people kind of reverting back, now we're seeing something like a monkeypox, or is that not really related?
So it's related, but not the same way that you're sort of putting it out as. What I would say is it's related, but it's related because I think the public is now hyper alert to infectious diseases. So
okay.
I would expect to see an occasional thing like a monkeypox, or not in the U.S., but an Ebola, or an unusual flebivirus. These viruses actually do occur. They are, I would say viruses, but infections in general, they do occur. But I don't think the public's actually been aware of them.
Okay.
I think they're just more aware of them because we've become more aware of the infectious diseases around us because of COVID. So it's really changed over the last 2.5 years because now people sort of know what an infectious disease doc is and know that there's viruses. And I think they hear about things like monkeypox, and I think the news hears about monkeypox, and now they're like, well, oh no, is this going to be the next COVID?
Okay. All right, so let's talk about COVID. So as of Thursday morning, we are showing a 14% infection rate. Now, we've talked about this a million times. That can't be an accurate number. It's probably a little bit higher than that, I would imagine, because we're not accounting for people who are testing at home. How are you feeling, though? That's a pretty big jump. This is the highest we've been since, I think, February.
Right. So it's very interesting. I would tell you, if you told me, you know, a year ago that we had a 14%, 14%, and again, you're right, probably much higher than that rate of COVID, I would say, oh boy, we would be really nervous about it. What I can tell you is that even though we've seen sort of we've seen several weeks now of an uptick, we really haven't seen we have not seen an increase in hospitalizations. Which is actually good, really good. So what's happening is that a lot of people have been vaccinated, which is excellent, and a lot of people have either had it or even those who don't have it are being careful. So the majority of the people who are getting COVID now are getting mild illnesses. So again, it's concerning that it's going up. It's concerning that we're seeing it more. It's definitely very disruptive, but it's not. At least from my standpoint, it's not that deadly virus that we saw in March of 2020.
Okay. So, and I have noticed that, like, the hospitalizations have gone up a little bit, but what you're saying is nowhere near. And what we're seeing is even though the infection rate's going up, the vaccines you think are working because people aren't ending up in the hospitals, essentially.
Yes, I can tell you that what we're seeing clinically is that, people who are unvaccinated are still at risk of severe illness and death. We definitely that has not changed, and it doesn't matter how mild other people are getting it. That is still the concern. So if you're sort of in that category, that is still a possibility. If you've received, the vaccine without booster, you are likely to get, you can still get infected, and you're probably going to be a little bit sicker. The more boosters that you've gotten, and again, I think some of this is incidental for the last part, the fourth booster, but the more boosters, the less of an illness you're getting. So you get less sick, you're getting more mild illness, and it's resolving a lot faster.
With the uptick in infections, Dr. Brown, the CDC is now recommending in high infection states and places to go back to masking indoors. Agree or disagree?
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
I've always agreed with
me
that.
Me too.
I've always thought that, listen, you need to be careful. You need to look and see what's happening in your community. If there's a lot of people who are positive, then you really need to be a mask. If you haven't had the vaccine or never got the booster, then you definitely need to be wearing a mask. If you've never got the vaccine, then get the vaccine.
Yeah, I know it's helpful when the CDC is just like, hey, we're just recommending it, because I think people are more inclined to go, all right, well, then maybe I will, versus like, hey, it's a rule. Got to follow it or you're going to get in trouble. And I think I am noticing more and more people are going back to masking in supermarkets or masking in those close quarters. And it's encouraging because I think, OK, well, the pressure is off that people are not, rebelling, if you will. But they're
right,
like, hey,
right.
You know what? I want to travel. I want to enjoy my life. I want my kids to go to school. If I have to wear a mask in the supermarket, then I'm going to do it. You're talking about 10 minutes of my day, whatever.
Exactly,
and I'm
exactly.
Seeing that trend happening more in Connecticut. It's really encouraging. I think it's a good thing.
It really is. And I'm really glad to see that is in fact happening. That people are taking, kind of taking those precautions and being careful. Now you do, we do know that we started seeing an uptick probably in April, into May. And we do know that there's been, the mask mandate was lifted. We also know that there's been a lot of gatherings that have occurred, and I don't think that our current uptick is over yet.
Mm-hmm.
I think, last week was a lot of graduations, and, there was a lot of people who were sort of in closed quarters without masks on. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's still going to be that's still potentially going to be a risk. So I think we need to think about that. Also, April was pretty cold, if you remember. I mean, it was a pretty cool month, and a lot of people were more indoors than outdoors. So typically we would expect, April's usually a little warmer than it was,
mm-hmm.
and you start seeing people outside more. I'm hoping that now that the weather's changing, we're going to have another beautiful weekend, that, you're going to start seeing people more outside. And that's, this virus does not like to see sunlight.
Does not like the sun, that's for sure.
Does not like the sun.
Dr. Brown, I know we've run out of time, but one quick question I forgot to ask you from a listener. Is it possible someone's body does not produce antibodies if they have no reaction to any of the COVID shots, the first, the second, any of the boosters?
The answer is yes, that can occur. It is unusual. We've seen it in other vaccines. So sometimes people can actually be a non-responder. I don't hear of very many of them, but it is possible. We are more likely to see that in patients who are on medications that make them immunocompromised. We've definitely seen that where they're on a medication, that medication decreases a certain type of their immune system, and then when they do get the vaccine, they don't get a response. That's more common, but yeah, it is definitely possible.
Okay. Well, Dr. Brown, thank you so much for talking monkeypox, COVID-19, and all the other stuff in between. We appreciate you.
My pleasure, Melissa.
All right. We'll talk soon. That's Dr. Brown here on WICC.